I was 10 when it happened. My 10th birthday. I was in the woods with my uncle and father, and they were making sure that I knew how to shoot. Before I could hunt deer, I had to show them that I could hunt bottles. By that, I mean I had to hit 10 bottles from 10 feet away using 10 bullets. It wasn't much a test. I could have done that when I was 7. My guess is they wanted to do something special with the number 10. I would have preferred 10 cakes. Thanks to my well-placed shots, the first 3 bottles exploded in glittering green shards against the sullen backdrop of the sun-punctured gray sky and the forest still recovering from last year's fire. It looked hauntingly pretty. Even though I'd worn my ear protection, I felt discomfort in both my ears. It wasn't the normal ringing that I'd encountered before, though. It was a painful buzzing, like flies were trapped by my eardrums. I looked over and I saw my dad and uncle both rubbing the area around their ears. They'd taken out their plugs and looked uncomfortable and confused. I pulled off my own and asked what was going on. Dad shook his head and said that he didn't know. "Mother of fuck!" my uncle exclaimed, prompting a burst of giggles from me and a slap upside his head from my dad. But then we saw what caused his outburst. The 7 remaining bottles were floating. They stood motionless, 3 feet above the rocks where they were placed. The buzzing intensified, and the 3 of us cringed. It was like a colony of bees had descended on the quiet forest. "Let's go," my dad said, grabbing my hand. We started walking back the way we came. And then the world ended. My father and uncle were hoisted into the air. I shrieked. Their eyes grew wide with fright, and they held their rifles in death grips while pointing them in every direction in a futile attempt to threaten whatever was assailing them. I remember how my dad looked right before it happened. The instant before, and one of the levitating bottles flew with impossible speed. It struck my dad in his open mouth and shattered. Glass stuck inside his devastated gums, tongue, and cheeks. My uncle, now screaming, was met with the same hideous assault. Both wailed around, the glass impaling the soft tissue of their mouths, while I tugged at my dad's leg, trying to pull him back to earth. 30 years later, their screams haunted me more than the sight of their blood. Blood poured. Blood gushed. In a haze of uncomprehending horror, I watched as the shards extracted themselves from the mouths of the men and began to carve. Lips were amputated, cheeks were excised, flesh dropped to the forest floor. The buzzing in my ears reached an unbearable level, and with a sharp cracking sound, everything went silent. Deaf, I huddled against a large tree and sobbed. I couldn't tear my eyes away from the violence in a noiseless, surreal nightmare. I saw the glass carve their gums down to the roots of their teeth. Their heads jerked forward in a powerful movement, and teeth exploded out of their skulls and into the sky. I followed their trajectory, and I saw, for the first time, a patch of dull green light behind the gathering clouds. I looked back at my father and uncle. They stopped moving, their arms and legs and... The violent forward motion had broken their necks. My uncle's eyes gaped and darted in every direction, but my dad's were on me. They expressed pain, but something else too. It was comfort, even in the bloodbath. He wanted me to know that it would be okay. But it wasn't okay. The green light intensified, and I saw the outline of something. That's still the only word I can use. Something. In the sky. First thing that came to mind was Medusa's head. It had a spherical center and countless serpentine spires jutting from it at every conceivable angle. Liquid patches of light traveled between the spires as it descended. I felt the buzz which had deafened me vibrating my hair and my fat. It reached the tree line. It's the size of a house. My uncle and my dad had their eyes on it as their ruined mouths wept. The spire stopped mere feet away from the 3 of us. A sliver of green shone on the 2 men, and they began to shake wildly. If they hadn't been paralyzed from a tooth extraction, the shaking would have ensured it. They flopped like electrocuted ragdolls, pinned to a corkboard, arms, legs, hips, backs, all contorting in ways that would splinter and pulverize their bones. My father's knees bent forward, hyperextending until his toes were touching his hips. My uncle's lower jaw swept back and forth. There was no conceivable way they were still alive. With a sense of resignation, I realized I couldn't move. I was pinned in my position, helpless to do anything but stare at the carnage. I assumed I'd be next. Green light flashed red. The tattered clothing on my relatives split and fell to the ground, and the glass, which had dropped to the ground after finishing with their mouths, took to the air again. It sliced through their bodies in long, deep incisions. The red light intensified, and I watched as their splintered, fragmented bones were hurled from their bodies toward the liquid light in a spire. In a final hideous act, their eyes dropped from their boneless sockets. The pulp brain matter followed them. Two motionless bags of flesh hung in the silent forest. If I passed out at that point, it wasn't for long. My eyes opened to the sight of the husks of my uncle and father being prodded by one spire each. Skin flopped back and forth. They remained bone red. Any remaining blood rained onto the floor of the Arbiter Nouveau below them. The light had shifted from red to something else. Something I've never seen before. It was as if they were trapped in a beam of shadow. It wasn't perfectly black, but it kind of a dark gray. Black fluid began to drip out of their skin. It puddled into the mass of blood and organs on the ground. Their flesh began to close. The dripping slowed and then stopped, and the bodies started to regain their original shape. My despondent resignation grew teeth as fresh fear suffused my small body. The skins were full again. Their arms and legs moved as if they were being tested. Eyes sprouted from the empty sockets and teeth filled their mouths. And after a few minutes, they looked exactly like they had before they'd been murdered. Exactly. Everything blurred after this. I remember them slowly descending to the ground. I remember their mouths moving as if they were talking to me, but in my deafness, I heard nothing. I remember trying to run, but being stopped and held against the chest of the thing who looked like my father. The twinkle of concern in his eyes was gone. I was carried through the forest to our house. I remember Mom staring at the sight of my nude father and uncle entering. And then I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was in my bed, and it was the day after my birthday. As I said, it's been 30 years. I'm still deaf. Everything continued as if nothing had happened, other than a freak accident due to a combination of misfiring shells and me shrugging off my hearing protection right beforehand. I haven't told my mom about it. She stroked my hair and she told me it must have been a terrible nightmare. There was no warmth in her eyes. My mother, my father, and my uncle, they still live in the same street. I live across town, I don't see them very often. They express great sadness at this, and they message frequently, but I can't forget what I know happened, what I know wasn't a dream. Over the years, there have been clues. Every so often, there'd be newspaper articles about strange lights in the sky, or messes of blood and organs found in the forest. There'd be things about always explaining away auras or animal tracks. Weird stuff, but not anything that made people think more than twice. 5 years ago, I was on my way to the supermarket on my bicycle when the chain fell off. Pulled over on the sidewalk to fix it, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw another cyclist across the street. Then a car made an illegal turn and the cyclist had to swerve out of the way. He fell onto the ground and I looked up. I realized it was Dad. He was picking himself up. A small gash had appeared on his elbow. It was greasy. This black liquid trickled down his arm. He saw me and he smiled. Looked at his arm and he sighed and he lifted the bike back onto his wheels. Walked up to me. Signed, "Your mother and I miss you." He hopped on his bike and he rode away. And I just stared at the tiny black drops on the pavement. Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to give you guys a quick thank you for watching tonight's video. If you guys would like to help these videos keep going and to help the series keep running and the like, you can always check me out at patreon.com/MrCreepypasta. It also helps anytime you guys watch on YouTube or anytime you listen to the podcast on Spotify or on iTunes or on Google Play. So, basically, anytime you listen to me. Also, if you guys are interested, this weekend there is a flash sale on Fright Bites. Fright Bites written by Micah Edwards. You can find the link to the book as well as links to more of Micah Edwards' work in the description down below. Fright Bites is a collection of short horror fictions, and it's currently $2 all weekend long, or $1 if you happen to get it on Friday. Let these macabre miniatures send shivers down your spine and buy it if you dare. Also, he has another book. Retroactivity is the Dark Side of Foresight, an augmented individual with the ability to choose from among all possible futures. He set himself up as one of the greatest superheroes the world has ever known, but with an infinity of possibilities, what other choices might have been? Another one of his books, not exactly horror-based, but certainly dark. If you guys are interested in any of the No Sleep writers and their ventures outside of the internet, I'm going to try to bring that to you as much as I can. So check out his books as well as Sweet Dreams.